Good afternoon and welcome to the Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and happy Good Friday. I don't know whose idea that was, but anyway, let's go with Good Friday. Well, it's not good for all of us, but no, we went through that in the morning.
We're not the teachers and the police.
Yeah, we went through that in the morning, but just go with, Good Friday. So, as always, well, it's a holiday, so do enjoy, but enjoy responsibly, drive safe, and don't drink and drive. And I don't know about you, but I don't believe in drink responsibly. I don't know. Because, okay, look, the first bottle is going to be responsibly. The second one and third one, I'm not sure if, responsibility is going to be something that you'll be able to define, let alone practice.
The first question is, how does it become irresponsible? Mm-hmm. How does it become irresponsible? Does it become irresponsible when you find yourself, face flat on the floor because you lost the ability to walk?
Yeah.
Or potentially, it's the other negative one that, the whole of the rest of us are continuously hit with. Either you are said, we put the police on you for that one,
Yeah.
When you decide to go and play Lewis Hamilton for some reason somewhere in Windhoek Streets.
Uh-huh. Yeah. With all the speed humps.
All the speed humps, and sometimes even you've got some friendly.
That won't be Lewis Hamilton. That will be Mad Max.
You've got some friendly, speed breakers known as traffic lights.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, guys, if you guys know how many times in 1 year, this was in 2020, I counted every Monday a traffic light knocked down.
Oh, yeah, that's very common.
There was a time that were, in 1 year, Helmut, there was in 1 year where the same speed lights were either knocked down. Us even being told to speak. They were either knocked down or, various guys on a similar route were also impacted because of, what ultimately they were experiencing. So, Good Friday, Helmut, Good Friday has never been good. I mean, Good Friday has always been about, if you're a Catholic like Dwight or quasi-Catholic like I am, where you sometimes...
So you're both a Catholic and quasi.
Yeah, you have to be quasi in the sense that you were raised not to eat meat, red meat, on this day. You're supposed to eat fish because it most resembles what Jesus did supposedly with the bread and the fish, that. Remember that witchcraft he did there for those refugees?
3,000 years ago?
Yeah, how he fed, what was it, thousands of people? With just two pieces of bread. No? Two pieces of fish and one piece of bread, or vice versa, whichever one. Uh-huh. And then, poof, everybody got fed.
Give it to everyone.
And then the famous lines come out, if you feed a man every day, they will, they'll become dependent. But if you teach them how to fish, then obviously they'll be able to sort of like multiply, supposedly, their self-sustainability.
So they will not be dependent on you.
Exactly.
Okay, look, but one thing we don't like to admit is that human beings, we're all control freaks. Sometimes we like it when people are dependent on us.
Or we are some of the people that would now be calling the teachers and the police officers, hey, can you send me a couple of $100?
You subman.
And then I'll pay you back in the month. And then when that
salary week.
Yes, and then that guy goes and claims back or, says now, okay, you said you'll pay back month. Uh-huh. And you're like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about. You get those kinds of guys as well. Nah, who love the freebies, love destroying the relations. But obviously, as long as they get their particular benefit.
Most of the numbers are not going through right now. and definitely not talking from experience. Yeah.
Hey, Shalmut.
I know.
Now people will be calling you. But yeah.
Speaking of the whole, happy salary week and the, borrow me as like a small $100. There's no
you and I
things.
Know it doesn't stop at the 100
No, that's not not where it starts.
And usually if it's $100, it's usually on a Friday, and it looks dodgy because on a Friday, what do you do on a Friday?
Oof.
Whose throat needs to be watered, you know?
Well, sport is one of those things that takes a, you know, that's usually reserved for weekends. And at these sporting activities, you find a lot of people buying and selling, whether just directly at the venue or those guys, you know, the asset forfeiture department that are also going shopping and putting their products on marketplace. Business is being done.
Yeah, those guys will they'll be extensively on the lookout, you know, for new areas of development, new expansion areas, and potentially new clientele for whatever they procure, which is not usually
procuring legal. Is such a diplomatic word, but thank
it's
you.
It's not usually a legal process that they go through.
Speaking of business, today's discussion is going to be revolve around the Minister of Education, and we have that is the audio of a speech of the deputy, deputy minister. The current deputy minister, that is Dino Balotti. And this is, basically looking, okay, you know how yesterday we were looking at, the contribution, or more like the contribution past, present, and the projection of the future contribution by women, in power. Today is basically, today we're basically looking at the Ministry of Education and its emphasis, more like growing emphasis on more like trying to bring about awareness of entrepreneurship and sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now, for someone that, is, that, for someone that's in the entertainment industry, one thing that we were saying, this one guy that was just singing that last year to us, that, yes, you are a good artist. Yes, whether you are talking about fine arts or you are a musician, or whether you are any entertainer of some sort. Yes, you are good.
Yeah.
But the main goal that we are having this workshop, because the gentleman said that during a workshop, the main reason why we organized this workshop is to help you monetize it, because having it just for the sheer pleasure or entertainment of it doesn't really contribute to the economy.
Yeah.
Because if you can get as much of you as possible and give you the education on how to monetize your talent, then collectively that would be very positive for the country's economy.
Yeah.
Now, the best way to do that basically is to bring about the implementation or that type of education directly into the Ministry of Education, so it's implemented as early as possible, so that when you leave high school, you're not only looking at tertiary, you have more like a lot of options. You can specialize, you can go technical, or you can go entertainment.
Yeah.
Although the entertainment part, and especially like the, especially the entrepreneur part, those parts are somewhat very, very challenging in Namibia right now.
I specifically like the addresses that the two ministers gave, because the one is Mr. Boss, the other one is Mr. Deputy.
Yeah, the deputy and the...
Yeah, and the boss. So, but I had to go all the way through to page 7 of Minister Steenkamp's maiden speech.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, guys, I don't like using that word. But anyway.
Maiden speech.
I mean, I don't like
make it sound like a 1912 Titanic maiden voyage.
Maiden something. I'm like, no, just... say speech, first speech of the year, or first speech of the 8th parliament, or whatever it is.
Well, she was a deputy, now she's a minister, and now, that's a maiden speech as a minister.
No, she was an executive director.
Oh, yeah, she was executive director. Yeah. For a very long time, who is this guy? Chicken was like, okay, isn't she like the minister? No, that was last year.
Well, that was obviously what a lot of people were thinking, because we were citing more like
More like her response, or more like to the media was more amplified than
plus the media. And I have to give this particular indicator as well, dear listeners. We as the media, we obviously found this. She's now minister, but back then she was executive director.
Yeah.
Minister Steenkamp was a very approachable person. You just drop a WhatsApp in terms of a media person, could you kindly define this? Just something short.
And there's something that's taking place in the area of the Ministry of Education to ask you on.
Or there's a subject matter, for example, like some of the things that occurred regarding, the developments around the, AS levels and various other educational developments that Weird Eagle FM here brought to our listeners, and specifically in that case, many of the listeners heard we asked the question directly to her. And she would send, she would respond to you, you know, giving you a particular insight and explain an explainer about what are the merits of a particular thing. So obviously, if you view this, and I'm not here to sing anyone's praises. If you view this in terms of she has been promoted, it's up to you, the listener, or whoever, whichever individual. Obviously, what we all are doing here is we're literally looking at the next 5 years. What is going to be implemented? Now, you started off, you laid the groundwork for us, Helmut. Now, guys, we're just going to play you the deputy minister's part that we played on the radio earlier this week on Wednesday. Primarily because if we now play both people's parts, but we sit with both people's speeches so that you know as well. And we have covered this ministry's portfolio in each segment. Remember, they are now education. Before you jump to art, or is it sport? Before you jump to art, you've got
innovation.
No? Yeah, you've got innovation in there.
Youth.
Then you've got youth. Then you get sport.
Yeah, youth, sport, arts and culture.
Yeah.
So it's or you can just say MESAC. You're welcome.
Yeah. That doesn't sound so good, Helmut.
If it's an insult in Afrikaans, tell me so.
It's
so,
not
you
an
know.
Insult in Afrikaans.
Socrates doesn't punch me in the face.
It's not an insult. But it just sounds dodgy.
I saying know.
My sack.
Oh, no, man. Okay, now I get it. I didn't even think of that.
As I said, there's nothing in it. There's nothing in it. Don't worry. However, here's the little bit of a, I'll call it a humdinger again. I'll use that Australian word. So this humdinger, Helmut, is a discussion of,
look, you need deliverance, man.
Me? Mm-hmm. I'm a Catholic. I'm, you know, technically, automatically. I don't want to like using the religion thing, but technically, yeah. So when you look at the portfolio, it's the size of the portfolio.
Yeah.
It makes sense that you've got education there, linking into innovation, linking into the arts, linking into the youth, linking into the sport, linking into
culture
again. And that all of it has to generate and develop the sport, the youth, in terms of participating in all these industries, all these sectors, because it's sectors under ministry. To us, outside of these sectors, because remember, we're Amazon, the media, we're obviously now primarily the commentators based upon these developments.
Yeah.
We're now looking at this discussion. We've never seen, in any other African context as well, for example, putting such a massive title, such a massive portfolio, and just having this behemoth of a ministry. Remember, there are two big ministries in this country. It's Ministry of Education and Ministry of Health. They have the largest contingent of people that work for them. They have the largest budgets in order for them to continuously invest back into the economy.
Yeah.
Even though the discussions that, if you think about the neoliberal economists, has been shrink down on healthcare, shrink on public healthcare, and shrink down on public education, because they want to streamline things, which is obviously why, what's his name? Elon Musk showed up there with Donald Trump, which is creating more chaos, because the chaos is created by uprooting, breaking up, fragmenting a system that everyone was used to for 100 years in the US.
Without any method of transition to help everyone catch up.
No, but take transition out of it. Why do you need to, where are you transitioning to? For example, this method primarily was a discussion of saying, listen, let's take procurement in Namibia.
Yeah. Yeah?
So you and I, we've highlighted what the procurement issues that the IPPR reports have highlighted, specifically that all public entities, whether you're SOE, ministry or agency, you have to give a procurement plan, meaning saying, what are you going to finance?
Yeah. Or, and how you're going to do it.
No, no, not the how. The how is obviously in the tender notice.
Yeah.
So they have to put up what are the projects they've got to do. And then the spacing, obviously, in a calendar year, because it's obviously in a financial year. And then you've got to say, what has been the status of previous jobs done, you know, procurement history. And you've got to put this up on a publicly available platform, i.e. a website that they should have. And then many instances up until that, because I'm still waiting for the first 2025 edition of that procurement tracker, because it obviously tracks procurement so far. And we're literally now only, what, a month and a half into the financial year of the government. Because literally Minister Shifuda, she only did that budget unveiling last month. She didn't do it in April. She did it in last month.
Yeah.
So we still have to anticipate. Ultimately what the next particular sort of like availability of this would become like. Even though you and I we did the midterm expenditure framework, which in its own right highlighted specifically that there are projects in the next three financial years of the government to be completed. These are the capital projects.
Yeah.
Both internal financing, which you and I we were like, yay, the internal financing looks better.
It's higher than the external one. Bravo to us. Yeah.
Yeah, because the external one was just a 4.9 billion. But the internal one looks fabulous, because now you go like, oh, wow, we can literally see proper, I don't know if it's accounting practices, but it's proper financial management or public financial management. However, you and I, we pointed out in the same vein, decentralization is slow because we've realized that there are councillors of towns and the regional councils that don't know about the capital
project. What project?
What project are you talking about? And when the same politicians show up from that oversight committee asking, so where are these things? The National Planning Commission can answer, but then the guys on the ground go like, but I didn't know that that was meant for us. It's in your region, duh. But anyway, I'm digressing. I'm definitely digressing. So, the important thing from this has been the Ministry of Health has become a bigger ministry.
Yeah, in terms of the number of directorates now incorporating it.
Exactly, and now you've got to look after the sports guys, which they never had to look after, but they just had school sports under them. Now they have the whole ecosystem under them. So this also means, dear listeners, for those of you guys that were unhappy about Independence Stadium's particular progress discussion, that falls under that ministry now. But I'm once again digressing. I'm just giving snippets so the people know. Here's the particular scenario, Hamoud. We are sitting with various developments that are happening in pieces like this. The job is now for you and me to literally keep tabs on those developments. Because remember, we started with one development, which was the Arts Council and the Arts Fund.
Oh, yeah, that.
The public stakeholder engagement that I went to, where it was unveiled there to the stakeholders that there is a Section 9 or 19.
No, 19.
That literally kicks the whole act.
Yeah, that renders the whole document.
The whole act is
unusable.
Is literally kicked into the stands.
So unless it's amended, or something that something that's UNESCO that's recommended
that change.
You're gonna have to fix Section 9 or 19 or
it's the whole act. They have to change the whole act.
They have to change the whole act because Section 19 derails everything above it.
Yeah, because
and it's the last one. Right?
It's second last or last, because Section 19 technically says you can't have dedicated full-time staff in the National Arts Council to, represent the course and scope of the work and the mission and vision of the council.
So now you have employees jumping directorates to Kaogo and Sev on the other side.
But remember, it's not directorates. These are employees that come from the Arts and Culture Directorate in the ministry who have ministerial work to do.
Yeah.
Having to second and play and do the work of the National Arts Council when they have free time. This was the statement that I kept making. These guys could either potentially be earning double the salary
or,
and under the Public Service Commission, from what I've heard from speaking to people that work in the public sector, the government will compensate you if you do two people's work. They do it. They recognize it immediately that this is someone else's work that you are responsible for. You either get overtime or you get compensated that money as well.
Yeah, well, as you should.
As you should. That's why I kept saying with that in mind, the assumption is, and yes, dear listeners, assumptions are allowed in research. You assume that this is a scenario that would be empowered through the rules of the Public Service Commission by saying, if these people have to do their work 8 to 5 of the ministry, in that directorate they work for, and you now want them after 5 or whenever they're available to do the work of the National Arts Council, that person will be paid double. Straightforward. It's basics. It's two different entities. Even though the one is a subsidiary of the other,
yeah,
it's two different entities.
Now I'm looking forward to getting a job there.
but let's just pause on the art scene, right?
Yeah.
So in the art scene itself, both ministers, deputy minister and minister, have highlighted specifically in their maiden speeches this week that they've got to treat the art sector as an economic catalyst. Minister, what's her name? Minister Steenkamp. I now have to go to page 7 of that particular speech of hers, because for the first 6 pages, it is just, you know, people are telling lovely stories. There's nothing wrong. She actually wrote a lovely speech. But once again, there's something wrong with me.
It's not the worst we have gone through. We've gone through 12 pages of protocol observed. Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah.
And just to get to one page of nothing as well, mm-hmm, with those 12 pages of protocol. But anyway, getting to that 7th page of Minister Steenkamp's speech back in this week, I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday. No, Tuesday. She highlighted here, she says, the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Sport, Arts and Culture contributes to 4 of... Okay. Minus the particular mention of the Swapo Party manifesto. So she says there specifically, despite ongoing challenges such as inadequate sports infrastructure, underfunded leagues, overworked teachers, poor school discipline, low academic performance, fragmented youth programs, and outdated facilities, the ministry is driving reform through 10 levers of change. She notes, central to this is the Project Charter, which is a detailed roadmap for improving all education sectors, which includes ECD, or ECE, as they call it, early childhood education. She also notes specifically that they are particularly enthusiastic about the teaching profession draft bill, which is something I did not know existed. But here's just a snippet she highlights, Helmut. It's specifically that it was developed through extensive consultation, which aims to professionalize and standardize teaching, lecturing, and vocational training across the country. Now, the first thing that pops into my mind is that, are the teachers not professional? Are they not professional? Is there not a standardization already in place? Because one of the reasons that's potentially keeping someone like Dwight out, who sits with 2-3-year tertiary qualifications, is...
Mm-hmm.
I cannot go to any school, even a government school. Let's, for example, say I could not find, and there are many Namibians like that. I can't find job anywhere else in the economy, but there is a demand for teachers. They are needed. They are teachers needed.
Yeah.
But I can't access. I can't apply because potentially what the first thing I would have heard, and this is what many people have heard, I would not be able to receive the desired income. Because I don't have a teacher's qualification. But I am sitting either with an honors or I'm sitting with a master's degree of something, whether it be in biology that way, law that way, business and commerce in that way. And all the foundational subjects are being taught to children. So who best can teach children these particular subject matters are people that are specialists. Remember what you and I had indicated.
Yeah, but that's a tricky one.
If you have gone to a university, mm-hmm, you've qualified, let's say you finished a marketing degree. Now you've gone and done a marketing honors and a marketing masters. You're almost a specialist then. You are specializing the skills. You're building on the skill set. Even if you did like what I did, I have a marketing diploma here and a journalism degree here. That means I'm a specialist in communication. Which I am. The same to you as well.
And then you but here's the tricky thing now from my standpoint.
Yeah.
That, you know, take for example, you are a specialist, you're an engineer, for example.
Yeah.
And, obviously, okay, your field of specialty have, there are a lot of things that are being taught in school, for example, in science subjects.
Yeah.
That you can find very familiar.
And which is one of the short teacher shortages we have.
Yeah.
Science teachers.
Yeah. And then that brings up a very interesting question of, what are your people's skills? Because, you'll find kids with different temperaments and different backgrounds. Yeah. That is going to annoy the engineering out of you. Yes. You have the knowledge.
Oh no, I've known those kids.
Yes, yeah. You have the knowledge.
Yeah.
You have known those kids, Dwight. We were those kids.
I know we were those kids.
I know every teacher likes to make it sound like I did not offend. I was never in the principal's office. He's lying.
He's lying. That kid is lying. Probably if it was a girl, because most of the girls were quiet.
Yeah.
Unless the class
benches.
Unless the classes I was in, where some of the girls were not so innocent. I mean, they were cheeky and they were chirpy, and some of them even had louder voices than the teacher. Yeah, sorry, man. I'm just going down.
Yeah, I think if you have take for example, take experts in different fields and try to try to bring them into teaching because we have a teacher shortage.
Yeah,
that will have to we'll have to start to talk about do we have to run them through like a teacher to learner interaction, training for them to fit in because, okay, you have the...
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge as we invest in time on our network enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage for the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply.
Mukungu lelekwa tuko maikuto amina apili kwa mavcha aziva. Mwele kisema app ato wakasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimbali fela zali vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifela fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba ep, mwikutwe kulimusie mba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sfela fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha falizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifela matasa ep ilimi, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali zila mlimu. Zengwi, zefu mani hamas fela sesfa ep ya imba, kize tatama. Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaemuriro, Catholic, Smane Kakarunga, Africans, Nizengwi Zengata. Muluri zeze kachenu, haiva mtavera kulisfera sa kireke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, va 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive, nukufuma na imba kachenu, mkona kuifumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Minutes past the hour of five. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we are here until the hour of six now. Where was I? Channeling more like a specialty experts and expertise towards education.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be, I think it would be a very, it would be a brilliant initiative. But, we have, all at, at least some of us have been through, have been through the experience of watching, take, for example, a teacher that know their stuff. They are so good at it, but the method of delivery is just way off. So maybe, that's where I was now leaning towards, the point basically I'm trying to make here is, if you're going to take a group of specialties, take in agriculture, engineering, biology, take even, geography, and then channel them towards education. At least from where I stand, you're looking at two problems. One, are you going to be able to pay them according to their qualifications? Because if they are expertise and take, for example, some of them have masters and PhD, they will not want you to pay them what you'd pay someone with a diploma.
That just as the
teaching, or a relief teacher, for example.
Or that just as the teaching diploma or teaching degree.
Yeah, exactly. That's one, the finance part. And the second part is the student teacher interaction training, which I think teachers, those ones that study to become teachers, it's part of their course. They have to go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you go through something like that, Helmut? You're the, between the two of us, you're the one that was a relief teacher.
Oh, yeah. No, which is why it was the shortest period. I had to run out of the boys. Just, sorry, guys, but, you know, teenagers are mean.
No, I know they are mean. I know. Hence the reason why we had that lopsided supply. If all the women, all the female teachers want to become primary school
primary,
teachers.
Primary, pre-primary.
Because the kids are cute.
Oh, yeah, they're still cute and cutty. Until the hormones begin to show up and then...
Because I know why they all decided, you know, let's become just primary school teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got an undersupply in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that firstly means, Helmut, there's one of two things happening. Firstly, okay, which we know already, it's an oversupply in the primary sector. In the primary school
there's an undersupply in...
Undersupply obviously taking place in the secondary. But in the secondary scenario... The specialist teachers that are needed to help with career guidance, with skills development, with understanding the subject matter, because education in secondary level is also changing. Meaning, what kind of history books would you get? What kind of science books would you get?
Mm-hmm.
And what I was explaining something when I was doing biology. What was it? Biology. It was biology. ICSE, you know, the IGSE, the lower level, not the higher level. But I was doing it the upper level of the lower level. Remember, it was split in two. So I don't know if you guys still had Cambridge, if you finished on Cambridge.
No, I finished with the NSSCO.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys came even after my younger brother.
Yeah.
So we finished on Cambridge, and you had higher level, which was – there was even a higher level above that higher level, which is in other parts of other countries, but Namibia didn't have it. So you had HICSE, which was higher level. Then you had ICSE, which is IGCSE, mm-hmm. but it was ICSE extended and ICSE core. So core was the lowest of the low level,
mm-hmm.
and extended was the between, the go-between level.
Yeah.
I was showed the textbook outside of the Cambridge system that some South African schools had for biology. That textbook was this thick, Helmut. The textbook we had was something as thick as these two fingers of mine together, just like this. The textbook we had in Namibia, just
for biology, so it's more of basics.
Yeah, yeah, but the textbook prescribed for us, only certain parts of the textbook we could access even for the two levels in Namibia.
Mm.
So certain chapters would be applicable to you if you were doing higher grade, the higher level, or the whole book is applicable to you if you're doing higher grade. And if you did the lower level, then those chapters fall out of your work. So the promotion, now what I'm going to explain to you is the marketing activity that took place in communication to the learner. So now the learner, we were given the option by the teachers, teacher learner option. The parents weren't involved. So now if you explain to a teenager, you can have less work here, or you can have more work here. What do you think that teenager
would... What teenager is going to go for more work?
Exactly.
I'm going straight for less work so I can, you know, make more noise.
Exactly. Exactly. All the way, Helmut. So literally, that's how...
Unless you're Sheldon Cooper and the Big Bang Theory, then off to hard work you go.
Yeah, but also understand Sheldon's particular, his environment. Because many people think and assume that you just dump the kid at school, you think the kid will thrive. No.
No.
They are feeding things, they are contributing factors that help with the kind of character that the teenager will become. Okay, so I set the scene there. But here's another thing that I also need to bring in, Helmut. There's a meme that exists. And I keep bumping into this meme on my social media. So the meme is, it's actually, what's the guy's name? Martin Sheen. Not Martin Sheen, the American. Martin Sheen, the Welshman, the Englishman. It's an actor you would have seen before. So Martin Sheen, he played in one or other vampire movie. But the stance he's got is like, you know, that person that tilts their head slightly and they look down at you, you know, from a weird angle and they try to look, they're all, pompous and all that, you know, like a peacock,
and the boss here.
Like a peacock running around there in your backyard, just advertising his tail feathers. So what is above, what is put in the meme is someone saying, Finland looking at the rest of the world, realizing it has created the world's best education system by paying teachers like rock stars and delivering the best skilled Finns or people into its society at potentially a fraction of the cost. You know, that's what the meme says. When you sit there thinking, and I constantly sit there thinking and go like, probably what Minister Steenkamp mentioned in that discussion of the standardization of educators could potentially also mean looking for a platform that actually meets the, not a middle ground. This is not you compromising on things. This is like realizing, you know what? You should be able, the system dictates that the person dispensing the service, the teacher, needs to
be of a certain level.
Well, not just of a certain level, but they need to fit a particular part. Think of them as a component part. Remember, we have also identified that the education system is literally a supply chain. So you go from early childhood development into primary, into secondary, and then into
tertiary.
Whereas in other countries, for example, if I now use Japan or even South Korea, they break up between primary and high school. There's a third level. So they've got actually five levels of education. So you go from early childhood, which is your kindergarten phase, you go into primary, then they go into something known as elementary. Yeah, elementary is the go-between, and then you go into something known as the high school. The high school only has 3 years or 4 years. Elementary just has 3 years or 2 years. Primary just has its primary years, because 1 or 2 years is taken away from primary and 1 or 2 years is taken away from high school. So do you see that there are more schools in the system in what I explained to you just now? And then you go into university level. Now, there's an indicator, Helmut, that ultimately tries to highlight from this, what are we actually trying to achieve? I remember this back to 2019 when I met the Finnish ambassador and the Finnish guys that were presenting here at Ruhenbos just outside of Windhoek, the Finnish education system. And I interviewed them, us in the media. We were like three journalists, took them, the Finnish embassy guys, and they, you know, took them to one side and we asked them questions. At that stage, there was a Finnish guy that was busy doing like a pilot project in Namibia, Botswana, and South Africa in terms of looking at the receptability of trying to install the Finnish education system potentially in these three countries. Now, this is obviously SAKU that you're obviously talking about.
Yeah.
Thinking back to that particular indicator, and what you and I actually looked at last year when we looked at the Finnish education system, was we realized that the Finnish education system had standardized things. So what does the standardization mean? So that meant a child does not get lost.
It's more intertwined with what's taking place in the community. It's, you know, they, not you just, know, not, they not, don't have this wide division. Yeah. Between, okay, you're at school, now you're at home. No.
And that there's contributing factors that help the child to get to the school, enjoy school, and after leaving the school, the child has an avenue of getting into the university. Now, remember when we looked at that part where the school is, primary and secondary, ne?
Yeah.
Remember that there was a breakaway that the child realized that they're not theoretically inclined. They can enter into a vocational
direction. Yeah.
They can still graduate on the same level as a child that has pursued the theoretical pathway. And that they can both enter the same university. Because what is the standardization you're talking about? That means whatever skill set that you've empowered between the two of us. Well, dear listeners, there's technically three of us in the studio, but we've got an observer.
You're like a physical person, not Holy Spirit. I had to clarify it, and then it's Good Friday.
Yeah, we didn't want to run with any ghost stories around. That's a good one. So, the standardization is technically about what are you aiming to achieve? Because Helmut, here's the thing. Unfortunately, we have the vocational sector that also has educators in it. And those educators are treated as of like they are there on Mars. They're on a, you know.
More of an afterthought.
They are just there. Somewhere over there.
Now, Now, on that whole, okay, the whole, you know, implementation, take, for example, of some foreign education system like Finland. Basically, even the one that we're using today is more foreign. So, now, take, for example, we're to adopt the, adopt the French, not the French, the Finnish one.
Yeah.
There are a few, again, a few questions that we'll have to answer. One is some, when you say that, it just reminded me of the Constitutional and Legal Affairs Standing Committee, a trip to Zambia last year. When they were looking at how the Zambian government and work hand in hand with the local courts, basically the civil Zambian legal system, how it worked together hand in hand with the with the traditional community one. One thing that they found was that a lot of people that are involved in the dispensation of justice at community and law court level in Zambia have some kind of legal qualification. Now, which is something that something that is not very practiced here. And also the local courts, local and community courts are more directly involved. Are more like directly involved in terms of appointment and, appointment and also operations, basically everything with the, with the central government. That's the executive branch in parliament and everything. But, implementing that in Namibia will mean that, now we will have to up the, the admission requirement into, the admission requirement into lower courts. Now you have to start, telling everyone that works in, in lower courts and community courts in Namibia to get some kind of legal qualification so that they are qualified to dispense justice, at the same level with, with other courts like the magistrate, high court and the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, they should, they should match in what they are doing, which is, serving justice. Now, that also, that's looks somewhat like, it would have to do the exact same thing in order for us to implement the Finnish education system, or more like a way of educating, our students here in Namibia. And now that means, okay, ask yourself one question. What is the, the admission requirement for a teacher to teach in Finland?
That is a good thing.
You need at least a master's last time I checked.
And how do they achieve that master's?
At least. Now, how many, obviously that's, that's one of those things that we also have to, we also have to rely on the NSA to help us find out, like, how many teachers take, for example, in Namibia have, which level of qualification, how many have certificates, God forbid, how many have certificates, how many have degrees, how many have masters, and how many have PhDs. Now, obviously, that is also, if you are going to up, to up that, the level of qualifications for one to become a teacher, take, for example, we find out that the majority, most of them have honors degrees, and we tell them, okay, because we want to improve our education system, we want all of you guys to get masters. And then that brings up the question of, once they have those masters, are we going to pay, do we have the money to pay them in line with that qualification?
Yep.
So, you will have to plow through all that plus more if you put experts, if you gave that, that question to experts. The number of moving parts, it's a good thing you used the, used the word supply chain early on. Because, and also one thing that, the deputy minister pointed out in his speech his boss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That, education, it's an investment.
Yeah.
You're investing in the future.
And we still have to play the deputy minister. But before that, Helmut, just have a look at the meme that I showed you there primarily. Or has it locked itself?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, unless your password is 1234.
No, we don't use 1234s, but yeah.
Oh, right now, man.
So that's specifically what it means. Okay, they use the word accidentally becoming the best. But in a world, Helmut, where education will be continuously looked at to solve the issues in the economy, that is ultimately some of the particular pathways. And the pathways mean, ultimately, we would have to change.
Yeah.
We would have to change. And even when we, you know, after a short while, we'll be playing the particular sort of like audio that the deputy minister said in his maiden speech earlier in this week as well, where he himself also pointed towards that the notion specifically of the sports sector.
Yeah.
Has to start playing a much bigger role as well. And this is some of the things specifically that the minister herself also reiterated. I'll just read that particular part before we get into the deputy minister's contribution. Just so that you know, dear listeners, what she said back on Tuesday was that, quote, we need a strategic shift that positions arts, culture, and heritage as vital drivers of economic development. Not just as cultural luxuries. Like you said, Helmut, at the start, that idea now of saying, yeah, you're a good, guitarist.
Now what?
Now what? Are you producing music? Are you selling it? And not Spotify's things, because Spotify is technically also an intellectual property.
Techno-feudalism?
Can I call it a thief? It is a feudalistic manner. But because they depend on you, the singer or the artist, to load up to that thing, to lure the listeners to it, meaning the people that love music,
yeah.
Leveraging music from, charging a rate from the user and then paying you a rental fee for sort of like renting your intellectual property. But your intellectual property is literally listed on it. They can take ownership of it. That's the reason why I said don't go the Spotify route. However, what she literally says there is it's about time that we stop ignoring the art scene. I mean, you and I last year we explained here to the listeners, look at the Samba guys.
Yeah.
They make 5 billion real, which is about 12 billion Namibian dollars. Just from that, what's the thing's name? The Carnival in Rio de Janeiro, which is a month long. It's a month long holiday. Do you know that?
Yeah.
It's a month long holiday in that city.
I mean, I liked it until
someone ruined it
for me.
Oh yeah, I ruined it because there was a South African there. You make some good stuff. But anyway, a month long holiday, Helmut.
Yeah.
How is it possible? But it feeds into the cultural economy. They've got a cultural and an arts economy. Does Namibia have something like that? No. We're doing things like,
let's cross our fingers and hope.
And hope it sticks and hope people show up. I mean, come on.
Yeah, the main goal here, basically, like, this is more like, the main objective that we want to achieve is for all the, take for example, all the directorates within the Ministry of Education, for example, to contribute to the economy.
Yeah.
The arts, especially, the arts and sport. Because, we have example of how these activities are doing in other countries. So they say, there's a potential for monetization.
Yeah.
You can, there are $1 billion worth of industry that are built under these activities, like you gave us the Carnival example.
Mm.
So, how to build it to reach that level of economic, to reach that level of economic potential is something that we are basically working on.
Yeah.
And, we have a lot of examples, obviously, to, to look at, when it comes to education, the education aspect we can look at Finland, like we've pointed out, and the culture expert, turns out the Finnish are not good at that. Well, we'll look at South Americans with kind of, sorry guys, but
no, but at least, but here's the thing, Helmut.
Yeah.
Tying it into the supply chain, notion that I made earlier. The Minister Stenkamp also highlights that institutions of higher learning must become active players in creative economy. So that means I know UNAM already has that department, but that means also a department needs to be created at NUST. The same too also at IUM. What this actually translates to is you've got universities that show up and say, you must only have engineers, doctors, lawyers, we'll give you a a business degree here in between just for the fun of it, accountants, and that's it. We don't even have architects, proper architects. I know there's an architecture department at NUST,
mm-hmm.
but I do we have architects that literally are at the forefront of designing the next generation of green buildings or eco-friendly buildings? I don't hear that. I don't see that. But did you know that there's a style design that I'm now I'm researching. I've been researching for the past five days
mm-hmm.
of looking at various designs that came through, for example, from socialist countries and from the Soviet Union and even from Scandinavia and also here in Southern Africa, because the South Africans applied the same design as well. It's an architecture design. It's not engineering. It's architecture. And what are architects? Architects are literally skilled artists. So you've got to first put the plan on paper in order for you, for everyone to know what is the plan.
Yeah.
Hence the reason why sometimes we get most, you know, like sometimes when I used to work in my other career.
In other words, architects, your professional duty to give engineers a headache.
Which is exactly what they do. But they make a boatload of money just designing. That's all they do. They just draw designs. And the important thing from what architects do now, Helmut, there's now a new thing happening in Europe where the architects or architectural graduates are now being trained to look for the construction methods of the future that don't release any carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide or any carbon, you know, release.
Any greenhouse gases.
Yeah.
I remember talking about this last year. I think it was last year or back in 2023, of one building that is, you know, famous for its, self-cooling, type of design. Type of design in Zimbabwe. It does say that the building's architecture is something that the architect himself, learned from, Ant Hills.
Mm.
The way that the whole thing is built, they don't have electricity, they don't have, modern day or more like human modern day air conditioning.
Mm.
But, they have, ants just by nature, they have this inherent architectural and engineering skills to factor everything in that, we are in Africa and it's going to get really hot in summer and really cold in winter.
Yeah.
So they factor everything in the way that they basically build, anthills. And, it's amazing to see that, none of the ants went to NUST, but anyway, what do you see?
So it's the same thing with the beavers also in North America.
The
biggest dam builders of nature and
the beavers.
Everyone realized this little animal alone is blocking a river.
Yeah.
All this animal does is just, it goes and bites down a tree, pulls that log into the river, plugs it in, and then starts building. And that becomes his, and that's a, and did you know that that's a survival technique of the thing, of the animal?
Yeah.
The animal is actually aquatic, but the animal is a mammal. Mammals are not aquatic. Mammals are not even amphibious. Mammals are predominantly, you live on land, you drink water, but you live on land, you've got hair, your young are born alive, they don't hatch from an egg.
In shells, yeah.
From an egg. No. Homeboy goes and builds his house in the middle of a river.
He can swim. No wonder the entrance is built in the, on the side of the river. Exactly. But then, it sort of like shoots out on, on a dry part of the structure to avoid predators. I should stop watching National Geography. But, you see.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Look, it's something really amazing, when you look at basically how nature does its things. And we've copied a lot of things from nature, like one of the biggest debate these days is how does a bee, if you look into its body to wings ratio, how does it fly and all those things.
Yeah.
And the science behind is just as amazing. And you are looking at woodpeckers, for example, how is it able to pick on a tree for about 22 times, I think, a second, without having a concussion. Now,
without giving itself concussions,
yeah. Now, all these things, and then you see that, the biology of a woodpecker is actually, you know, it's amazing because, the tongue sort of like, it's more, it's basically a seatbelt for the brain that absorbs all the shock because.
But isn't the tongue actually the shock absorber?
Yeah, it is the shock absorber because it comes from the mouth, then it's sort of like wrapped around the brain until that, where you'd find your eyes. So, now, you and I don't have that feature. Just running to the wall
just
once.
Just accidentally go dive on your bed, guys, and see how your head bounces off from that thing. And then see the vertigo that you experience.
Yeah. So, the goal here is is to empower cultural activities and sports activities so they reach a level that we see in other countries where they are contributing to the economy.
Yeah.
So building that requires, a lot of things. A lot of things to be in place. In the very same way that we are looking at oil and gas, and we have been, well told by experts as to how much planning that goes in from from exploration all the way to decommissioning. A lot of pieces must be in place.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like monetization of education and culture is the same thing, but quick break.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it.
Easy money.
Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. It's 29 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Before we continue, can we play the audio of the Deputy Minister?
I rise today not just as a public servant, but as a passionate advocate for Namibian entrepreneurship. But let us be honest. All of the honorable members here, myself included, can never truly understand the plight of entrepreneurs in our country. Many of us may have an entrepreneurial spirit. We may even be engaged in entrepreneurial endeavors. However, we still receive a salary and will therefore never fully understand the plight to be a proper entrepreneur with very little support from our communities and, dare I say, government institutions. According to the African Development Bank, African Entrepreneurship Index, Namibia ranks below the continental average in entrepreneurship ecosystems, largely due to access to finance, policy fragmentation, and low support from startups or for startups at grassroots levels. We can, we must, and henceforth shall do more for entrepreneurs and MSMEs. I repeat, we do more to render the requisite financial, technical, and market access support to entrepreneurs across our 14 regions, under each of our 57 local authorities and 121 constituencies. To quote the late Grace Hopper, U.S. Navy Admiral, who is credited for coining the phrase, rather ask for forgiveness than permission, I too shall rather ask for forgiveness for being unapologetic about service delivery and our intentional pursuit to empower Namibian entrepreneurs. Because entrepreneurship is not a luxury, it is in fact the key tenet for our growth and prosperity. Honorable Deputy Speaker, honorable members, if we are honest, which we are, our economy is not yet working for many. The latest survey by the Namibia Statistics Agency reveals a national unemployment crisis. These are not numbers, these are lives. I'm convinced that this burden, once inverted, could become our strength. Notwithstanding these realities, I do not stand here to despair, but I stand here with conviction to contribute toward the collective leadership solution. Because these numbers also tell another story that is one of potential. According to our central bank, our economy grew by 3.7% in 2024. And we are informed by our most capable Minister of Finance, Comrade Minister Shafuda, that we expect growth of 4.5% in 2025. This is a positive and optimistic forecast, not a political speech. But growth without inclusion will not translate to development if our young people are not part of this growth. If they cannot see it, participate in it, and contribute towards it, it will not be sustained. We have promised hope, and this is where our work begins. My mouth is so dry today. Permit me to share, between 2017 and 2023, the number of our learners in our education system grew by more than 120,000, an increase of 17%. But this surge was not matched by proportional growth in both teachers or facilities. We have observed a rising learner-to-teacher ratio. We still observe overcrowded classrooms, often forcing children into afternoon shifts, particularly in the early grades. Now, this is not merely a logistical issue. It is a function of development planning and certainly a warning sign. A system under pressure will struggle to deliver quality, and quality is what our young people deserve and what our economy demands. What we want is education and not just certification. Yet amidst these pressures, we are not under-investing. Allow me to quote my Honourable Minister, Sanet Steenkamp, when she says, "We are not spending on education, we are investing in education." Our Swapo-led government, invests approximately 20,000 Namibian dollars per student, and as a percentage of GDP per capita, places us in the same league as countries such as Austria, United Kingdom, Switzerland, Denmark, and South Korea. So this is not a call for more, which is relative. It is a call to do more with what we have. We must confront the hard truth. Investment alone does not translate to transformation. Accountability must meet expenditure, innovation must meet bureaucracy, and results must meet intention. Vote 27, Sport, Youth, and National Service has allocated 1.26 billion Namibian dollars for this financial year. I was asked on a panel last week whether this is enough, and I responded saying no, it is not. However, acknowledging that a two-third budget increase and acknowledging that real value is yet to be derived from this investment, our charge is not only to spend, but to deliver, to ensure that every dollar unlocks capability, that every learner moves closer to opportunity, and to ensure that the product prepared at primary level is equipped to perform at secondary level, thereby reducing the high rate of attrition. Education must become the engine of productivity, underpinned by research and development. It must close the gap through innovation, through sports, through arts, but only by believing urgently and relentlessly in the potential of our people. Innovation will drive the future of our economy, and it will be shaped by those we empower today. We are a country rich in young people who are ready to build, ready to serve, ready to lead. Let us be worthy of them. As I draw to a close, the ministry will not be driven by slogans. We will be driven by service, by results, and by the quiet power of delivery. We are already hard at work to improve the equity and quality of education systems, to redress national social infrastructure deficits for both schools and sports facilities. To the teacher in the overcrowded classroom, I say we see you. To the young person waiting for your chance, we hear your cry. And to every Namibian who still believes in the promise of this country, we shall not let you down. Let us collaborate to make Namibia the winning nation that she is. Henceforth, our sportsmen and women will play to win. Our musicians and creatives will shine and take their place amongst their contemporaries. Our youthful energy and intellectual exploits will be developed and harnessed to add value to the country we all call home, Namibia. Honourable Speaker, I therefore support the 2025-2026 budget, inclusive of the annual membership of First Ladies that we have committed to remaining a member of.
Wow.
Welcome back. The time is 22 minutes left to the hour of six. If you just joined, this is the Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. And we are looking at, the voice you just heard, that is the voice of the deputy minister. That's Dino Balotti. It's a whole new administration. So for those of us that are in the media, we'll have to learn a whole new names. We do it every 5 years.
Yeah, there's even a whole bunch of new MPs also that, you know. I mean, there's a guy that got up yesterday saying that, once again, not that there's anything wrong.
No, there's nothing wrong with it.
That the teacher and the police officer and the government worker must get an increase again.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, literally, there's a guy that got up yesterday and I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah, that's something that I think, something that I went through, at least just glossed over yesterday. And I got that more like, I got that point from one guy that, that left it in a comment section on our Facebook page.
Mm.
That, very often you hear a lot of, take for example, MPs in parliament calling for increment in certain, increase maybe pensioners, which is dominating, headlines also these days. You know, pensioners, monthly payments, you increase it to 3,000, 5,000.
Yeah.
But none of us basically take a few steps back and ask the question, okay, before we ask the government to bring about this increment, where is this money going to come from? Because,
and for how many pensioners is it?
Yeah.
Because remember, you and I, how much, they're not even a 1% of the population. The pensioners, they're not even a 1%.
Yeah, but basically the point the gentleman was trying to make is before you propose any increment, at least start with, can we bring about, can we implement this so we can, so it can bring in, can we implement this as a new source of revenue for the state? And then, this source of revenue is going to bring about this increase, this increment to our national budget. And then from there, then we can increase, comedian salaries, or you can, we don't know, but yeah, like, but because by just saying,
endangered species?
Very much. Dodos, Begman. By just going straight, by just standing up and saying, we have to increase this payment or that payment or build more schools and do that. Yes, these things are obviously budgeted for by their respective ministries, but to build more of them, beyond the budget that's available, including the national budget, you first have to please, I'm sure every minister, every deputy, basically everyone in public office is waiting for a fresh idea on how to make more money.
No, but they can't be thinking about how to make more money. That's the thing about a government. Their job is to spend the money.
They are spending the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and what is their money basically from? If you look at a government budget, anyone else, it's literally, okay, so what projects do you guys want to do? These were projects that were announced like 2 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so we now have to complete these things. Okay, here you come. Let's see what this costs, the potential cost, your estimations. That's ultimately what happened with judiciary, remember?
Yeah.
They were supposed to build prefabricated courtrooms. They were supposed to build accommodations for
Basically fleeing from, take for example, domestic violence.
That too, but the other people, the legal representatives. What were those?
The prosecutors.
Yeah, not just the prosecutors, the other guys. If you can't afford a lawyer,
they said the one for not legal aid.
It's the legal aid guys.
Hang on a second, legal aid.
Because they also work for the ministry.
Yeah.
They also.
So it was prosecutors,
legal aid,
famous Oshakatido, prosecutors.
The prefabricated
and the legal aid guy.
And the
for public representative.
Yeah. And the prefabricated courtrooms that were supposed to be erected. And every
in 2015.
Or since 2015 up to this direction. And every time when it comes to October, just before the mid-year
budget review,
Then they asked, do you still have budget left or have you implemented your projects? If they say, no, we haven't, can we have your money back? And it gets channeled to somewhere else that needs to be addressed. So we can see specifically when the government puts up a budget every at the start of every year, this is, they first look at what the projects are. You can obviously see it because you can't just go and announce, yeah, you're getting this, you're getting that. Everybody's getting this and everybody's getting, no. This is not an Oprah Winfrey show. What they've got to do is literally they're going to ask every year. And for people that know that work in the government, they know about this process. The Ministry of Finance asks, okay, guys, submit your budget plans for next year.
Yeah.
They submit. Okay. Do you still have the same salary contingent of people that work for you? Yes. So that's a fixed thing that they know that cost already. Ministry of Finance. They just look at what projects need to be completed. That means the services that we have to see in Namibia. So now, what Minister Steenkamp announced as well, they need innovation hubs or creativity hubs in each of the major universities in Namibia. So this means it's an investment being done. So what does this imply? The universities, which I call the big three, they need to now think not just about, okay, I just now not only do I now have to produce engineers and IT professionals, the mainstay industries, we now have to attract artistic directors or develop artistic directors or develop dancers or choreographers or musicians or what's the guy's conductors of symphonies to teach people music, because teaching music was lost in the private primary schools. I had music lost as a lesson. It got phased out somewhere at grade 4. Yeah. We had that primary school of mine in Riebos, St. Joseph's, had two music teachers. Two music teachers. They could teach you music. They could teach you how to read and write music. How to write. Now go ask people today, what are the kids being taught on primary schools, on the public schools? Music has gone out.
Music has gone out. I had to, to offer my public apology on my morning show yesterday for making fun of our education system, for making us label insects and, stuff.
Talking about binomial nomenclature?
Nomenclature, yeah.
The naming of species.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was a binomial nomenclature, but it turns out it's a whole different thing. Look, it's words, it's that and characteristics, those words. Made me bite my tongue several times.
Do you know how many people failed that subject? There's a subject at NAS known as basic science.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many people failed that subject? I know our observer knows that subject.
What subject?
The subject's name is basic science.
Uh-huh.
And literally, you've got to know about species names. How to identify the two types of plants that exist in this world? Yes. It's either the plant has got one leaf or the plant has got two leaves.
Okay, every plant I see has like a million of them.
But that's the thing. To you, it looks like every plant has the same thing. Yes, they do have the same thing. Yeah, they're headaches, bruh. And you're there as a communication student. Now you've got to know about kind of bugs are these? What kind of an insect is that? How many leaves does a plant have? Who cares? Yeah, and then you realize we don't have journalists that can report about science. I've met them here in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
They love reporting on politics. Politics is the end game. It's just gossip left, right, and center and rumors.
Until you get to the point where you have to...
So what's the substance in the politics? No, we don't know. If, for example, like here in Eagle FM, if we didn't hammer on the manifesto discussion and other people of, in around the political sphere also didn't hammer on manifestos, we would have never seen manifestos like we saw them last year from the political parties, Helmut. So that firstly means that they listen to us. Ching ching. Secondly, this ultimately also means that people have, just like Minister Steenkamp said, standardization has to take place. People have to realize if you're going to communicate things, you've got to do it properly. And when you communicate things, you ultimately have to realize that you are doing things with a purpose. You're not doing it there in the wind. There was a lady that I used to work with. She kept telling me, Dwight, don't just tell me things in the air. Give me papers, documentation, proof of something. And that's usually specifically how a lot of the journalists also get treated. Someone comes and says, you know what? I think that Helmut,
He doesn't actually sleep at home. He visits somewhere else. And then they go and try and investigate it. And it looks more like a tabloid story because it's based upon a rumor and a gossip. Specifically, that is what, because Namibians don't know what real information dissemination is. You speak on facts. You talk about statistics. You talk about developments. You talk about things happening in context. You don't start like CNN starts at 7 October in this Gaza conflict. Mm-hmm. No. Norman Finkelstein had to keep telling them, go back to 1950s. Go back to 1946.
That's where you should start from.
That's where you have to start.
The thing is, some of these things are just done on purpose. But that's because, you know, the consumers.
Yeah.
You know, consumers, it's sadly, you know, if you put it in the words of who's this? It's this scholar.
Which one?
The name disappeared out of my head. Manufacturing consent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manufacturing, not consent, manufacturing consent.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to understand the empire. So, he's the same guy. I'm forgetting this guy's name. It's the same guy that basically made the argument that, propaganda is to democracy. Propaganda is to democracy violence is to dictatorship.
Yeah.
Because in a dictatorship, if someone criticizes you, the leader, you can just send a bunch of guys and make him disappear, and then everyone that asks questions, they keep disappearing until they shut up. But you can't do that in a democratic society. You'll have to figure out a way of control somehow.
Why does that sound close to what the story is?
Noam Chomsky, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Noam Chomsky. The thing is, empires have basically relied on, on misinformation.
Yeah.
All throughout history. It's not something that's unique with the US. Like, I basically saying it through this morning that, the Spanish and the Portuguese were there converting everyone in the name of Jesus and then stealing their resources. The British went on a civilizing mission and then they did some of the most uncivilized things in their civilizing mission. And also, what did they do? They were stealing resources. The US is now running around, have been for a few decades, bombing pretty much every country that disagree with them in the name of democracy. Yeah. Bottom line, stealing resources.
Yeah.
So it's about stealing resources, but then you have got to come up with the one heck of a cover story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I think, reading now, or more like, who is this guy? The guy that, the guy that wrote, Noah Harari, that wrote, Homo Deus.
Mm.
That is one of the, that's one of the most very, well thought out book in terms of basically a public perception of power and politics and the response into, with regards to the information that, that they're being fed.
Mm.
And it's a, Bro is writing this a book in the same way that Machiavelli writes The Prince. He's not beating around the bush. He's just going straight to the point.
Mm.
That one thing is that a lot of people, especially the majority of the people on the the majority of the people in society are not interested in information, and genocidal maniacs that rise to power basically tend to exploit that, the lack of information. Take, for example, if I were to start a political party today, I can cook up any lie accusing you of something, and you'd be surprised as to how many people would believe that without first fact checking if Dwight's character that I'm presenting to them is the real Dwight, if they met you in person.
Yeah.
So, what you begin to see there is, as much as we like to blame politicians for a lot of things that take place in a society, we also have partly to blame, because if you're not asking questions, you make yourself very vulnerable to being fooled or being lied to.
Or if you don't read, same thing.
Allergies, reading.
Yeah.
And, So the big question here, if we can go back to the deputy minister's speech, is a lot of people
that are in, you know, that are into, that are practicing entrepreneurship in Namibia, they don't have both their legs in entrepreneurship. In other words, they have a backup plan. You have a salary and also practicing entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Of which the deputy minister argues, and I agree with him, that if that's how you're practicing entrepreneurship, you don't know half of what, you know, a real entrepreneurs are going through.
But that's just where the term comes out. You're a dabbler. Dabbler is the one, the big toe is just being dipped into the realm of entrepreneurship, but the person is actually an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that 90% of the income comes from doing accounting services, but they work for someone.
Yeah.
But they have a side hustle of doing their father's books for, you know, a little bit extra money,
mm-hmm.
or they're doing the community's books somewhere for a little bit of, like, you know, making quick money. But what the community technically needs is like a consultant, which is known as a knowledge worker, to be positioned in the community so that everyone knows, oh, you've got that guy, Dwight there, who's a bookkeeper and accountant / he can do everything for you, from registering a business to, you know, filing your taxes for you. Giving your consultant, you just pay $500 for every particular consultancy. That's it. It doesn't work from that. Because what it would have led to, not talking to Dwight in the third person, is that the scenario would have been, they would have given up on their 8-to-5 job that they were being paid.
Yeah.
And thus building a business. And that's literally what the deputy minister also highlighted. It's technically saying stop dabbling. Let's take the realm of entrepreneurship serious.
So when when you are practicing entrepreneurship as plan B, it's kind of difficult to more like sit and motivate. Take, for example, an artist or someone that want to venture into monetizing culture, to sit them down and tell them, you know what, you can do this. Yeah, well, how much do you really know about being an entrepreneur? Because most of the entrepreneurs, the picture that came to my head when the deputy minister made that was, those people that you find at a pool party. They are in their, you know, swimwear, but they are sitting at the edge of the pool only dipping their legs in. And when you push them in, they kiss you and
your
50 generations.
No, but they're the guys, like you explained it there, they're the ones come out drinking a whiskey, but, you know, everyone else knows it's just regular, you know, brandy.
Apple juice.
It's not a whiskey. And they're wearing a Lacoste, obviously, and, you know, they're trying to look like the grootman around the pool party.
Yeah.
They're also not the guys braaiing, remember that.
No, you can't bribe with with the designer, bro. Which is why.
They're also not the guys bribing. They're also not the guys buying the booze.
At that point, what are you doing at that party? So you're just there for, taking IG pictures.
Yeah.
Being
an influencer.
No, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the main goal here is to get activities, especially those ones in, take for example, culture and arts and culture. You know, you want to create an environment, an ecosystem for creatives to monetize their creativity to the point where you can tax them so they can contribute to the economy. So if that environment of them monetizing their creativity to the point where they are taxable, then that means they are not contributing to the economy. Now, if you are seeing that basically creativity is contributing billions of dollars a year to other countries, it's only natural or it's only normal for one to start asking themselves one question like, okay, why can't we just at least try to do that? Now, I think we are in that trying stage. Well, it's going to take a while. And a lot of reasons, especially with, about entertainment in Namibia, have been pointed out as to why it doesn't make one good market. And one that is a lot of people are polarized on is that we are too much of a small population to monetize on that.
Not really.
Okay. That's, wait, what?
Not really.
Good. Now, please elaborate.
Okay, I'll elaborate. I'll use New Zealand. So New Zealand is the, and I keep saying this every time, New Zealand is the opposite of what Argentina was supposed to be. New Zealand is the only country in the
world.
It's
where all the...
No.
Austrian paid. Okay.
No,
so.
No, no, no. Look at the strongest sector, agriculture.
Uh-huh.
New Zealand is the only developed country in the world that has agriculture as its primary sector, upholding literally the entire country.
So the same way that South Korea has Hyundai and Samsung Electronics.
But they also had to build from agriculture. South Korea.
Yeah.
So South Korea could move forward in building, you know, forward. Remember that North Korea sits, if you think about Korea as the two Koreas as one country, unified. Remember that North Korea sits with certain particular resources as well. And that South Korea, meaning that South, the whole Korean peninsula is technically a very resource-rich particular zone. Mm. But you see stark opposites. Hence the reason why I tell you, go back. I will always use New Zealand. New Zealand is a developed country, Hamoud, that built itself up to that level because just through sheep farming. Sheep farming.
Not manufacturing.
Well, the manufacturing comes in a little bit later. Yeah. Obviously, they would have the soft manufacturing sector because they do produce their own wool products and other particular things. They've got a strong construction sector because they use wood a lot as well for their construction. But they've got a strong agricultural sector. And it's just sheep farming, bruh. But here's the thing, what they could do. They realized a lot of those sheep farmers and a lot of those Maoris, those indigenous New Zealanders, needed a sport as well. And then they started expanding, obviously, in the rugby and cricket specifically. Now you've got the only country in the world where almost 90% of the country plays rugby. It's similar to like in Brazil, where you've got 90% of the country playing soccer. They have, do you know that they have a town league? Then they have a regional league, ne? Then they have a state league in Brazil. Then you get the national leagues system.
They all feed into each other in terms of talent.
Yeah. And they all generate talent and they all can pay salaries and they can all pay wages. Now, I'm asking you the question specifically. What is going on now? Oh, and just before we end off, dear listeners, Helmut, we are second in the group behind Tunisia, potentially to qualify for the World Cup. Knock on wood, I'm not spreading any bad luck, but Namibia can qualify directly for the World Cup. We're second in the group. So far, we're doing pretty well.
And we could win it.
We no, what the World Cup? whoa. Let's stop that lorry right there.
No,
I live in the real or the real
actually,
world.
Actually, that's the reaction I expected when you went. Wait,
we
what?
Live in the real world. So first, hold up. The first thing is qualifying for the stupid thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's not a stupid competition because I watch it every time when it comes by. But we have to. We stand a very good chance.
Of qualifying, meaning
between now, which is April, and end of this year, there's a whole bunch of qualifying matches still to finish. They all will obviously be difficult, and all of them obviously still means that Namibia is playing away in South Africa, our home matches.
Yeah.
Which is another thing that falls also onto the shoulders of this ministry with its very large size now, because it's the only behemoth of a ministry. The sports infrastructure, bruh. The sports infrastructure. So far from the last particular discussion, remember our private, the other discussion of sport that we did, 2 weeks back when we had the audio of, we didn't play it actually, but we had the audio of Mr. Muya from the National Sports Commission, where he was asked a question in terms of, some of the administrators of some of the sports codes in Namibia feel like they're being treated like just being volunteers.
Yeah.
And his response was basically, well, if your sport has its affairs in order, meaning get, if the sport code has its house in order, they can, from that level of stability, they can reach a level of achieving full-time employment for people. Now, dear listeners, it's not just about paying the athletes' salaries and wages. This is also about expanding into things or realms known as, and there's a tertiary institution that provides, this particular degree. It's known as sports management. So, or sports administration. So sports administration is like being, is like you studying business administration. How to administer a business entity. Or public administration. How to administer a public entity. It's in the same philosophy. It's in the same philosophy. Sports administration. The realm that Namibians don't understand is we have this resource known as athletes. The goedes daar so. They are just there. The things are there. You know, it's like Richard Attenborough going into the wild and you see an athlete there, just there somewhere. Ons het hulle daar. We just got, we have them there. The downside is no one is saying, okay, guys, let's be serious about life. We can generate so much value, so much potential, so many services, so many jobs around this.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Now you have the cricket guys that are showing the whole country, literally, yes, borrowing the term flames, about how to build your own cricket stadium and being able to host the cricketing World Cup. Hamoud, imagine having those thousands of Indian fans, just India, playing one match in Namibia. Imagine that. Do you think all of these hotels will have space left in their rooms? Do you think they will have rooms left?
Forget booking accommodation that weekend. Just stay in your house.
Do you think we will have taxis available? You guys that love riding taxis and Yangos and stuff. Do you think you will have transport?
Well, at least I have an excuse to not come to work. Sorry, boss.
You will have it. You won't even have transport to come here because your transport will be booked up when a cricket match takes place here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we have capacity?
And where you have high demand.
Yeah.
The price goes up.
No, and it's not just about the price. Don't worry. Those guys will be traveling as fives and parties of five and six, three and four. There won't be less than, it'll be very rare that it'll be two people, meaning a husband and a wife, you know, deciding to have their own, to go and support their favorite team. But usually sports fans travel in groups.
Yeah.
Sports fans travel in groups of three to five. So, seeing that particular thing, Namibia is on the cusp in 2027 to have the biggest economic injection and stimulus just like that for free. We don't have to market anything. We don't have to have an extensive campaign, marketing campaign going wild, costing us millions. Zero balance. That'll be carried by the South Africans. All you have to prepare for as a tour operator, as a hotel owner, is to have beds available, food at the disposal, and probably functioning toilet pots, you know, because there'll be a lot of eating and there'll be a lot of, you know, drinking and...
You're saying there are those ones that will track a partner for the first time, maybe.
Hence the reason why...
Digestive issues.
but that's what a sports event does, Helmut. We are losing out on opportunities which are literally lying on the ground. They're not even low-hanging fruits. It's now an apple that has fallen on the ground.
For us to exploit, but we're not.
You just have to employ. What's that term that you had that the British used in Australia? Terra nullius. You just have to go and say, well, the tree doesn't own the apple anymore. The apple is now free from any particular ownership component. You just pick up the apple and there you go. Obviously citing that potentially there might have been a fruit fly laying an egg in the apple because the apple is already on the ground. Just take that in mind.
Yeah, 7 minutes past the hour of six and it's time for a business and economic segment. And for me, it's basically that brings us to the end of Home Run and, the programs are here at Eagle FM spills into business and economic segment with King David, his Royal Highness. We don't know, can't see him, and hope he's not standing at the balcony watching someone's significant other taking a shower, according to the Book of Kings. But
You know that the Bible was also pretty graphic in its own right.
I was raised with one. It wasn't much of my choice, but I was raised with one, believe me.
I was told that, me and my younger brother, we were told, well, your sister had one, your two elder brothers had one, so you guys inherit those Bibles. And some of the stuff that I read, I was like, this is not age-appropriate stuff. You want me to read this stuff?
Hey, King Solomon.
Until Monday. On that note, dear listeners, see me on Sunday morning at 5 a.m. And obviously stay tuned for the Business and Economic segment.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Mukungu lelekwa tuko maikuto wami na apidi kwa mavchaziva. Mwere kisema app ato wakasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferide, nise kunani zencha. Kuzo wakwa kushimba lifera zali vuka, kuyakwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulibusi yemba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha, niencha falizwe, ikopo ya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini, kukopanya naha, ni kuhasa nyali zila mlimu. Zengwi, zefu mani hamasfera sesfa app ya imba, kize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, smane kakarunga, Africans, nizengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavera kulisfera sakireke ya mina.